Morning, church family. Good to see that you're here. We're dry. That's a blessing, right? Enjoying the cooler weather. I looked around and noticed everybody has their blazer on this morning. It's kind of nice. Not sweating. It's good. It's a blessing to be here. We're glad that you were here. Traffic. Deadlines. Long lines. Annoying people. Waiting rooms. Being put on hold. Irritating people. Watching a file download. Being told that the check is in the mail again. Being cut off. Frustrating people. Bad ideas. Inept information. Incompetent people. As we continue our series, Life Reflections, A Renewed Vision for the Fruit of the Spirit, we now take a look at patience or our lack of it. In that brief list of things, did you notice or pick up on any reoccurring characters? Yeah, people. I'd be willing to say that the majority of the time we struggle with patience. When we are struggling with patience, the instigators are the words and the actions and the attitudes of the people around us. Specifically, we tend to explode on those that we love the most. But we can also lay into a complete stranger, right? None of us are innocent in this. We can unload on a complete stranger and we'll never see them again. The deal is that impatience shows no favoritism in its victims. As many of us fly through this life at warp speeds, levels of patience seem to have dramatically changed and not for the better. To begin with, isn't it interesting to you that when we refer to patience, we often talk about impatience? We say things like, "You are trying my patience," or "My patience is wearing thin with you." Or, "I'm just about out of patience with you." We say things like this, and we're not talking about how much patience we actually have. We're talking about our lack of it. And that's how we use the word patience most of the time, is referring to our lack of it. The wise teacher in Proverbs wrote, "Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly." Proverbs 14, 29. And so I'm convinced this morning that our impatience with others is connected directly to our inability to wait.
Wait. The very word ignites the flame of impatience in our hearts. When we wait, we are no longer in control. In fact, our lack of patience is directly related to our desire to be in control of whatever situation we are in. So, if, as Micah has pointed out, we take our impatient out on others, then our patience becomes a gift that we offer to others for the sake of others. Yet, it is a gift difficult to give when we are consumed with our own will, our own way, our own plan, and our own schedule. Consider this story of patience. Noah and his family. They waited for the rain to start. They waited for the rain to end. They waited for the water to recede. and they waited for dry ground to appear. They were utterly lacking the ability to control the situation that they were in, so they waited for God. When have you been like Noah? Or maybe who has been like Noah for you? Consider this story of impatience, the Israelites. They waited for Moses to come down the mountain, only they couldn't wait. They were ready to move on, and rather than submitting to God's timing, they took control of the situation and made their own God. When have you been like the Israelites? Or maybe who has been like the Israelites for you? We need a lesson from the language of the Psalms. To wait for the Lord. To wait with hope, with expectation, and with patience. Pray with me. Lord, we wait for you. We wait for your salvation. We wait for your strength. We wait for your help. We wait for your voice. We wait for your plan to unfold. And while we wait for you to teach us, we ask you that you teach us to wait for others. Teach us to listen. Teach us to value people over productivity. Teach us to love. Teach us to lower our sense of and our desire for control. We submit our will, our way, our plan, our schedule to you. And we do so only by the power of your Holy Spirit at work in us and through the strength of Jesus Christ who makes us new. Amen.
This is challenging for me. My impatience is directly connected to my inability to wait. And I don't believe I'm alone in that. Consider these modern day scenarios as we continue to reflect on this inability to wait and how it's impacted our culture. Writing emails instead of handwritten letters sent through what we affectionately call snail mail. Talking on cell phones instead of landlines. Picking up food at the drive-through window instead of sitting down for a meal at home or even going inside that restaurant to sit and to eat. Downloading music on our devices instead of buying the music on a CD. Streaming movies on our devices instead of renting them or buying them. Using single-serve coffee pods instead of multi-cup coffee pots. And maybe my favorite, cooking in microwaves versus cooking on the stove. I mean, it's just the truth. We can we could continue going with examples, right? We just find ourselves more and more becoming frustrated because we have to wait to get something that we want. It's almost as if we feel entitled to the idea that we should not have to wait for anything. The old joke goes, "Lord, give me patience and give it to me now." Describes this pretty well, but be careful what you ask for, or he'll give you that opportunity to practice patience. The irony here is that God is continually patient with us, right? The Lord provides help for our impatient souls in a number of ways, but in my mind, the most important one of those is by his own example. And if you have your Bible with you this morning, join me in 2 Peter chapter 3. The Apostle Peter reflects upon his life and is responding to some anxiousness in the churches that he's writing to. In 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8, he tells them, "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but he is patient," some translations say, "long-suffering with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance." And I want to focus on that word patience just for a few moments. It's actually a compound word, and the first word means long, and the other one means anger. And so when the two words are put together, it carries this idea of taking a long time to become angry. Some translations, again, choose the word long-suffering to convey this word's unique message. It's basically the idea that we will display restraint in situations where most people would feel that they have the right to criticize or to complain or to defend against or to even attack another person. But this verse goes even deeper than that with Father God as our example. As God is merciful toward us, not giving us what our sins deserve, we too then should reflect mercy toward others as a sign, or as Stephen mentioned, as a gift of the divine that dwells within us. In other words, we will not only refuse to defend ourselves in a hostile situation, but we will also turn down the opportunity to offend or to harm the other person. We choose to suffer long before we get upset. And I don't know if you hear those words and go, "I can't do that." But even as I wrote them, I thought to myself, that is a daily struggle. And yet, the Lord calls us to step in to this behavior, this reflection of him, and to lean into it and say, yes, this is one of the ways in which you are like me. This is one of the ways in which you become like me and you show me to the world. A simple scenario here might help. Imagine being in an irritating situation. Perhaps it's a traffic jam with no way out, or maybe you're in a conversation with someone who is actually slandering you in your face. And I want you now to imagine that someone comes along and just sticks a spiritual thermometer in your mouth to evaluate how long it takes you for your temperature to rise. Now push pause on that situation. Fast forward 1 year, and there you are again in a very similar situation, and the thermometer goes back in your mouth. Does it take you longer to overheat than the previous year or not? If so, if it takes longer, then you are maturing in this idea of long suffering, which simply means to take longer and longer and longer to succumb to frustration and anger. There's also another frequently used word for patience in the New Testament that encourages Christians to learn how to remain under the unavoidable pressures of life. It's often translated perseverance. We can picture this kind of pressure as a huge, heavy bag that we carry on our back. And certainly we must first recognize that there are some self-imposed pressures that we should avoid at all costs, pressures that we bring upon ourselves, overcommitting on our to-do list, overextending our resources, putting ourselves into compromising situations. We should avoid things like this. However, there are many unavoidable situations in this life that are out of our control, such as illnesses, or a spouse or a close loved one going through a dark season, or accidents of all kinds. And so in these unavoidable situations, we can also choose to relieve that pressure momentarily by doing the wrong thing, right? The devil would provide what he would call a way of escape, but see, we don't escape anything, because in the morning, it's the pressure is still there. And so the drugs and the alcohol, trying to escape a relationship when maybe we should stay, seeking revenge or blaming others, all of these are ways that perhaps are the wrong way to handle the pressure. But God encourages us to remain under the pressure as much as it depends on us, as a gospel response to any hard situation. And so where do we turn when we're under heavy pressure? When these circumstances of life that are unavoidable press in, where do we turn? Maybe we choose to talk to a person that we trust and we lean on them for strength. Maybe we choose to stay if it's not an abusive situation. Maybe we choose to stay in a tension-filled relationship seeking reconciliation. Maybe forgiveness is the choice we make instead of harboring bitterness. Maybe we choose to take responsibility for our actions and find healthy ways to rebuild relationship. Whatever the choice is, wherever we turn in a healthy way, the bottom line is this: escape may seem like the quickest solution. And a lot of times it's the easiest thing to do. But God wants us to offer He wants to offer us the best solution inside the circumstance. Remain under the pressure, because a lot of times that's where God will meet us. And He not only wants to meet us in those pressure-filled situations, but He wants to transform us in those situations so that we walk away loving Him more and depending upon Him more. And so we wait. We wait for Him to move. Remember this: God doesn't always move quickly as we consider time. But when He does move, it often happens swiftly. The Hebrew writer reminds us of how important it is for the people of God to patiently wait for Him. And here's this other word for patience that we were just talking about in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, or to patiently remain, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. And so if this kind of patience is prevalent in our lives, if we choose to be long-suffering with others, what noticeable difference will it make to the world? Oftentimes, the only way that God can teach us patience is to give us circumstances where we must wait on Him. But we tend to grow weary of this process, don't we? And we start trying to manufacture something on our own. You ever been there? You grow tired of waiting, so you try to manufacture something. You take back the control and you try to make something happen. Remember this: enduring patience communicates that God's plan will always be better than what we try to force. You with me? Enduring patience communicates that God's plan will always be better than what we try to force. And so at the root of impatience is mistrust. And there are times when God wants us to wait on Him and we doubt on whether anyone, not to mention God, will act on our behalf. And so we take action on ourselves. We take action. In our impatience, we exhibit pride, thinking that we can do things better on our own. But here's the deal. If we truly trust someone, then we will wait on them to act. And so if we truly trust an almighty God, then we will wait on his timing. And in the interim, we will commit to trusting him and loving him and serving him while we wait. The story of Abram and Sarai powerfully illustrate this principle, right? I mean, in Genesis 16, we find the story where God promises them, I will give you a child, and it will be the child that will continue this promise that I've made to you, that your descendants will be more than the stars, more than you can count. 10 years go by. 10 years, a decade. Still no child. And so they think to themselves, well, God must need our help. So let's get this ball rolling here. And so in Genesis 16, the first two verses, it says, Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarah said. Now, we don't need a professional psychiatrist to let us know that this is a really bad idea. On a number of levels, right? This is going to turn out to be disastrous. And it was. It was. And so here's the deal. Jumping ahead of God's plan is always, always a bad and impatient idea. Something else to remember. Enduring patience communicates to others that we see them. Enduring patience communicates to others that we see them. And in the process, they see God through this action. I just want you to take a moment and think about your daily routine. Think about the hundreds of people that you pass, brush shoulders with, and even push by. These interactions may seem like insignificant seconds to us, but to someone else, and man, it could make all the difference in the world. For one cab driver in New York City, deciding to take a moment and to slow down changed not only his life, but the life of another. And when I say the words cab driver in New York City, the idea of patience does not usually come with that, right? I mean, I've never been to New York City, but I've seen the movies, the shows, and read about it, and it's just honking and get out of the way and trying to get through and not patience. But I want you to listen to his story, this cab driver, as he wrote it, and it was published on EliteDaily.com. He said, I arrived at the address, and I honked the horn. After waiting a few minutes, I honked again. Since this was going to be my last ride on my shift, I thought about driving away. But instead, I put the car in park. I walked up to the door, and I knocked. Just a minute, answered a frail, elderly voice. He said, I could hear something being dragged across the floor, and after a long pause, the door opened slowly, and a woman who had to have been in her 90s stood before me, and by her side was a small nylon suitcase. The apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. All the furniture was covered with sheets. There were no clocks, no knickknacks, no utensils on the counter. He took the suitcase and he helped the lady to his cab. When they got in the cab, she gave him an address and then asked, could we drive through downtown? Well, that's not the shortest way, I quickly answered. And she replied, oh, I don't mind. I'm not in a hurry. I'm on my way to hospice. He says, I looked in my rearview mirror. Her eyes were glistening. And she continued, I don't have any family. The doctor says I don't have long either. For the next 2 hours, we drove through the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had once lived as newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of an old furniture warehouse that used to be a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a little girl. And after that, she announced that she was tired and that she was ready to go. And so we drove in silence to the address that she had given me. And when we arrived, I retrieved her small suitcase from the trunk, and two employees had already come out and helped her out of the cab and into a wheelchair. And she gently asked, "How much do I owe you?" "Nothing," I said. "There will be other passengers." And she said, "Oh, come on. I got to pay you for your time and your gas." And he said, "No, it's really no problem." He said, without thinking about it, I bent over and I gave her a hug, and she squeezed tightly and held on. And she whispered into his ear, "You gave an old woman a little moment of joy today. Thank you so much." As we review our lives and how impatient we can be, just think, what if that woman had gotten a different cab driver who wasn't as patient, who wasn't as selfless as he had chosen to be that day? Or what if the cab driver that wrote this story honked once and drove off impatiently? They both would have missed out on a beautiful reflection of God's patient love to one another. You see, enduring patience helps us to see others around us as God sees us, as people that are cherished and loved by God. You see, because God doesn't want anyone to perish. And so he patiently waits on us. Have you ever taken just a few minutes to consider God's patience with you? And as I reflect on that, it just breaks my heart how impatient I am with others, especially those who are closest to me. May God help us. May God teach us to be patient as he is long-suffering with us. Today, God, he waits patiently for you and for me. He waits patiently because his son, Jesus Christ, paid the ultimate price. And his death, his burial, and his resurrection has provided a way for you to be reconciled to God, for you to come to God. And Jesus says, "Come, if you are weary, if you are heavy laden, come, and I will give you rest for your soul." And so if you're here today, and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, we would love to witness your confession and baptism this morning. We're going to stand here in just a second, and we're going to sing a song. And our tradition is for you to just either come forward. There will be shepherds and ministers in the aisle. You can respond to one of them if you need prayers, if you need to give your life to Jesus this morning. We would love to minister to you this morning. We'll wait as he waits on us. Let's stand and sing together.